Looking at what we're titling, What Can You See? And we're going to look at the things that determine how and what we see. I'm telling you, it's going to be exciting tonight. And you know what? We were praying today at 12 noon, and a gentleman was leading us in that prayer. And as he was leading us and highlighting some things that determine what we see, I just knew we're going to have a discussion and a swell time tonight. And please, joining me right now in the studio, from his home studio to my home studio, to your living room, to your bedroom, to your kitchen, from wherever you're watching, please welcome, we call him Dada Eze. Mr. Kalu, Mr. Ezekwe Nana Kalu.
Evening, Pastor.
Yes, how's the weather where you are?
Lovely, sir. Lovely, sir.
Is it as lovely as the part I am in Liverpool?
Yeah, I believe so, sir.
And thank you for that warm, bright smile. The glory of that smile warms the room.
Thank you, sir.
Yes. Title again tonight, people. What can you see? We want to look at the things that determine how and what we see. Now, Mr. Kalu, when you were leading us, you know, at 12 noon, we were having that prayer fellowship, the noon fellowship. You know, you started highlighting some things that determine how and what we see. You know, I know we prayed about them, but I just sense, you know, that breaking it down to let people see the things that actually determine what we see and how we see will actually also help us to know what and how we should pray. So that we can tackle those things. Now, there are just two stories I want to throw out there, and I will just ask you to elaborate more. And, you know, we'll just take it like a discussion, watch people's comments, and please, people, any question you have as he begins to share with us, please feel free to share. Now, there was a time Jesus healed a man. You know, the Bible tells us it was a blind man. And that story is somewhere in the book of, I believe it's Mark chapter 8. Sorry, media team, we didn't send this scripture to you, but just get the gist. I know you guys are awesome. You know, we have a fantastic media team. Mr. Kalu will agree with me. Say it, and then they find it. Okay, the story is in Mark chapter 8. And Jesus heals this man. Okay? Let's look at it. I'm bringing my Mark chapter 8 up. Let's read from verse 23. Okay? The Bible tells us, Mark chapter 8, verse 23, that Jesus took the blind man by the hand and he led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes, he put his hands on him and he asked him if he saw anything. And then the next thing we see here is the man, the Bible said, the man looked up, verse 24. And he looked up, look at this, and said, I see men like trees walking. This was a blind man. Jesus prays for him, and apparently, his eyes opened, but did not fully open. Or his eyes opened, but he wasn't seen properly. He was seeing men walking on streets. But then, thank God for Jesus. And I'm praying for someone tonight who's watching this broadcast. You will begin to see as God wants you to see. And the Bible says Jesus afterwards, in verse 25, which is where we're going, the Bible says Jesus, after this, he put his hands again on his eyes. And then he made him to look up. And he was restored and saw everyone clearly. So it is possible that we are seeing. But what are we seeing? It is possible that we are seeing, but not seeing clearly. We saw how Jesus restores this man. So, but, you know, seeing is deeper than just, you know, looking at things physically. You can look, you can actually be staring at something, but not seeing the details. So, Mr. Kalu, I'm just going to, you know, step aside a bit. You were sharing some very, very profound things at 12 noon. If you can just go over them, the things that determine how we see and what we see. And people, again, you can comment. Please feel free, as Mr. Kalu will be sharing with us. Feel free to pass in your comments. Feel free to ask any questions, participate, either through Facebook, if you're on joining us via Facebook, or YouTube, or anonymously on Slido. Mr. Kalu, over to you. What can you see, sir?
Thank you so very much, Pastor. And thank you, everyone who's here today. If you haven't already, kindly share the link to friends, to family, to anyone who you know or you may not know on any platform, because God has something very powerful for us in store tonight. Just kicking off from where you read, Pastor, it's amazing. Because the story starts with Jesus meeting this man, and he didn't heal him where he met him. And, you know, you can read that and just jump over it and gloss over it. But as you, one of the things you have taught us is to always read in context, search the scriptures. This is what I call the principle of separation, because bear in mind that God wants us to see and become. Whatever we are going to become, it's directly proportional to what we see. If you don't see, the Bible says God was saying to Abraham, as far as your eyes can see, the land which you see is what I'll give you. So the land you don't see, you will not get. And if you read that Genesis chapter 13, verse 14, Genesis 13, 14, I'll tie it to Mark chapter 8, where you've just read. If the media team have Genesis 13, 14, if you can bring it up, it says, "And the Lord said to Abram, after Lot had separated from him." After Lot had separated. So you see the same principle, the principle of separation. Abraham needed to separate from Lot for him to see the land God wanted him to see, the land God wanted him to conquer, the opportunities, the ministry, the abundance. And you see the same principle, which was what Jesus did. Jesus had to take the man out of that environment. Because if you read verse 26 of that Mark chapter 8, it says, don't go back to the town. Don't go back to that town. Don't go back to that environment, because there are certain people there who would kill and who would stifle your ability to see. I don't know if you've ever had, you've ever shared your dreams with some people. They will tell you how you don't have money, how you don't have the right pedigree. They will discourage you. They will tell you how you are not worthy. They'll tell you how you are not the right age. They'll tell you how, oh, you've gone past your prime. And they'll tell you, oh, how, you know, 10 generations of your family have tried and failed. And what Jesus does here for us and is saying to us is we need to separate from certain environments. We need to leave certain environment. We need to leave certain friendships and certain relationships. It's difficult, don't get me wrong, because the relationship between Lot and Abraham, but there are certain ships that we need to leave if we are going to see that which God wants us to become. God is so, and I saw this today. I was taking a prayer walk this morning. I'd never seen this scripture before. It's in Isaiah chapter 51 verse 2. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 2. It will shock you. It will shock most of you. Isaiah chapter 51 verse 2. If you have it, I want us to read it. It's a Bible study, so I believe everyone should have their Bible in front of them. But if the media team can just show it to us, I'll read it and then I will continue. It says, while we wait, Isaiah 51:2. It says, God says, look to Abraham, your father, and to Sarah, who bore you, for I called him alone.
Come on. Come on.
I called him alone and blessed him and increased him. Most times, this law of separation or principle of separation, we want to see what we want to see as a collective. Oh, you want to see, oh, you want to see with your friends. You want to see, you want everybody to see what you're seeing. But remember that your call is an alone call. Jesus wasn't bothered about the people around this man in Mark chapter 8, but Jesus is concerned about you. He's concerned about you. And Jesus, that is why he wants to separate you, because he calls you alone. Our call is an alone call. When we stand before God, we are going to stand alone to give account of our stewardship. So this law of separation is the first thing that Lord showed me, that, you know, for us to see, to become, we need to be, remember that we're alone, we are called alone, is an alone call. No one saw the dream, no one saw the vision, the encounter you had with God. But because you are moving with people and hanging with maybe church people, you know, sometimes, pardon me to say this, sometimes your spouse might not see what God has showed you. So you need to be patient with them. You need to make room for them. But it is an alone call, and God wants us to separate. For you to see some things, there needs to be a separation. While we were praying at six p.m. this evening as a church, we pray. We have a prayer altar at six. Pastor Wura was talking about a distraction. What it does, it hinders you from seeing what God wants to do in your life. You know, what happens? We then start comparing ourselves with our siblings. Oh, my brother has this, my sister has this, or my ministry has this, that ministry has that. We start comparing ourselves. And when we do that, we lose track. We lose track of what God wants to do. But friends, God is going to do anything in your life in this season, if you're going to become that thing God wants you to become, you need to separate, set yourself apart. You know, some of you might need to go back to school. Like my mom, had my two older brothers, but there was just something in her that wanted her to go back to school. And when she went back to school, secondary school, it was like, you know, people were laughing at her because it had never been done. It had never been done. So what God wants to do in your life, brethren, you need to separate from whatever people think, what people are saying. There's some lots that need to leave your life for you to see what God wants to do in your life.
Thank you very much. You know, you said something so profound. So I wrote this down because we're looking, people, the topic again, what can you see? The things that determine how and what we see. Something very profound you said here, and I've been making my notes. One, there are things, I wrote things or people to separate from, because for as long as we have these things or these people with us or around us, it will hinder us or determine what we see. Now, the story of the blind man, wow. Jesus, the Bible says, had to take him. He took him and led him out of the town. Took him and literally told him, you know, took him clearly. And it's so awesome, because the final instruction he gave him after the man saw clearly, if the media can help us, wow. Mark 8:28. Please, media team, Mark chapter 8, verse 28. Look at it.
Verse 26. 26.
Oh, 26. Sorry. Yeah. Verse, okay, yeah, sorry, my glasses. What can I see? People, one of the things that determine what you see, your glasses, your eyesight. You know, we're joking about this, but there's something again that, you know,
yes,
I will mention, and I'm sure you'll be able to say something about eyes.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Just remind me, I need to mention and give us that scripture.
Yes,
look
sir.
At it. Verse 26. Then he sent him away to his house, saying, look at the instruction, neither go into the town, nor tell it to anyone in the town. He had to separate him from people in that context. You know, same principle. Abraham, you mentioned. So I wrote people and things. So tonight, people, as we're writing these things down and noting, I pray that God will open our eyes. God will show us the things and the people to separate from so that we can begin to see clearly what he wants us to see. Now, sir, this scripture, Jesus said something again about the eyes. You know, we're joking now, as comical as that may sound. Jesus said something about the eyes, you know. Jesus said that the light of the body is the eye. And if the eye is full of darkness, okay, media team again, I need you to do your magic. Let's go to Luke chapter 11, verse 34. Luke chapter 11, verse 34. I saw Mark 8:26 as Mark 8:28 because of my eyes. You know, the level of light that is in my eyes. You know, I think Apostle Cruz, when he was introducing us to this topic in the first Bible study, did say something about that. The level of light, you know, around us determines what we see. So, Luke chapter 8, media team, please. Sorry, did I say Luke chapter 8? Luke chapter 11, please. Verse 34. Okay. It's the same scripture also in Matthew chapter 6, verse 22. It says, the lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. You know, the King James Version puts it as the light of the body is the eye. And then Jesus now warned somewhere. Okay, that's still the New King James Version, but the King James Version uses the word light, you know, lamp. And that reminds me of a scripture about the word of God. What is this light? It says, your word is a lamp unto my feet. Ah, boy, let's get that scripture. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Psalm 119, verse 105. So if your eye is good, your whole body was full of light. If your eye is bad, your body will be full of darkness. Jesus now warns there, if you look further down that scripture, we should be careful that what we are calling light is not darkness. The light that we think we have, that is not darkness. So Psalm 119 verse 105, thank you. Your word is the lamp to my feet and a light to my path. So, the light of the body is the eye. So, what is this light? What gives us that light? That clue, we see in that Psalm 119, verse 105. Okay, sir. The question again. What are some other things? People, please, you can participate. You can ask your questions again. You can put your comments. We're watching on Facebook or on YouTube. Please feel free. We would like to hear from you. Right. So, what are some things? The topic again, people, is what can you see? What are the things that determine what and how we see? Right. What are some other things that actually affect what we see, sir?
You know, you said something. You said in, while you were taking notes, you wrote, you know, people and things.
Yeah.
They are different. The way you deal with them, it's different. For relationships, for when it involves human beings or when it involves you, you need to separate. Separation. You know, Bible said, what fellowship has light with darkness? What relationship has the house of God and the house of Belial? You see that in 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse from 14 to 18. It says, come out from among them. Come out from among them and be ye separate. Come out from among them. You know, you hang around the what I call osmosis. I don't know if this happened today. You hang around people and they're playing the music. All of a sudden, you start humming the music. It's what we call osmosis in your basic science. Things moving, especially water molecules, moving from a region of higher concentration to a region of lower concentration. So if there's water on the floor and you put a wet napkin, the napkin soaks it and the water leaves from the floor into the napkin. So if there are people you hang around, I'll give you an example. You're a married man or a married woman, and all the people you hang around are not married. Your best, very good friends are not married, or your very good friends are cheating on their spouses, or they are abusive, or they're millionaires, or whatever. You find out that because they have no responsibilities most times, and because they have no commitment, or they don't value their marriage as we value our marriage in terms of our relationship with God, you find out that they can keep late nights. They can stay out till 1-2 because they are going home to no one. They don't have any responsibility. But because you are going home to a peaceful home, let me say they don't have a peaceful home. They have a peaceful home. You find out that you want to go home early. But you find out that the more you hang out with them, the more you start shifting, moving the goalpost. Maybe you normally come home at 7. You say, let me stay till 7:30, 8, 9, 10. That is what we call, it's influencing what you're seeing. It's influencing your capacity and your responses. So what you do is you separate from such people. However, when it comes to things, inanimate things, I'll give you an example. The principle you follow is the principle of sacrifice. You sacrifice those things. You kill those things. You because with relationships, you don't kill human beings. You separate. You don't kill them because God wants to still save the unsaved. But when it comes to things, you need to sacrifice. You see the principle in Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1, it says, in the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. The king dying, I shared with us that the king had started well with God, disobeyed God, and ended up being a leper, ended up being leprous. But the king there wasn't a person. It wasn't as if King Uzziah was affecting his personal relationship with God or his ability to see the Lord. Remember, the ability to see the Lord. However, it was the government of the time. It was the spiritual atmosphere. It was things in the air. The things that are not that are not just human beings per se. Right. The policies, the laws, the things that were happening was affecting his ability to see God. And what you do is that you need to sacrifice those things. It could be your job. Your job is affecting your ability to see God. What happened to Uzziah was that he became rich, he became strong, and when he became strong, he felt he could leave his office as a king and step into the office of a priest. Because money, you feel money can answer all things. So you use money to replace your relationship with God. God is calling us to a place of devotion, a place of intimacy with him. but you feel I can give an offering and, you know, still maintain that intimacy with God. No, you need to pay a price. Sacrifice demands a price paying. And you see the same principle as well. You know, right? You are right. I hope you're writing the scriptures down. You see it in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. 2 Chronicles 7, 1 to 12. I'll summarize the story. The Bible says that when Solomon sacrificed 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep, the glory of God came down and the people could not minister. And God appeared to him and God spoke to him. There are certain things that if you don't sacrifice, you will never get to a certain level of seeing God. So it demands a sacrifice. It could be sacrificing reading the scripture. It could be sacrificing sitting down, writing your goals. And I remember before we got married, my wife and I, many years when we were even courting, we sat down, we wrote. The other day, we brought out the email. We wrote like how many pages of what we wanted our marriage to be, what we wanted our home to be. We wrote it down. It was a painstaking exercise, but it was a sacrifice because of what we wanted to see. You know, and we see the same thing happen in you know, people look at the general overseer of the Redeemed Christian Church, or people, you know, people look at Pastor Fola and his wife and go like, oh, I love their marriage. Oh, and you go to pastor and say, Pastor, lay hands on me that my marriage will be like your marriage. No, no, no. It's not it's a principle of sacrifice. The principle of understanding, looking at it, what price did Pastor pay? And if you listen, you will hear, oh, he said you were reading the scriptures, you took the topic of marriage and you studied it line upon line, precept upon precept. You had some no-go, you had some things that were boundaries you had to set. You viewed the price you had to pay. But what we tend to do is that we want to sacrifice money instead of, and sacrifice prayer instead of principle. So when it comes to things, we need to pay a price. And that price could be, you know, it's either your job or your marriage. It's either your job or your children. It's either going on your knees or going to court to fight. It could be so many things, but there has to be a price that has to be paid. Or, you know, sacrificing, you know, your Isaac. You know, God stopped Abraham from killing Isaac because of relationship. But in his heart, he was willing to let go. Sacrifice is willing to let go for God. If God says, I want your money, you are ready to let it go because you see God. You want to see the wealth of God come into your life. Then you can't be holding on to things. You have to let it go and make that sacrifice to see the provision of God, the awesomeness of God come through.
Wow. That's really, really profound. Because it's very good the way you broke it down. We separate from people, but we sacrifice things. People, you know, animate relationships because in this life we must relate. There must be we must define relationships. We must set boundaries of relationships, and we must know because you know the Bible says. Just reminds me of that scripture as you were speaking. Don't be deceived. Evil communication. It says it corrupts good manners. So you already have good manners. But as a result of the people you are hanging out, hanging around, oh, it doesn't matter. Oh, I will affect them. Listen, there is that principle, very powerful, profound principle now that you share with us. Separation, excuse me, people, is separation. If God says separate, then separate. Don't pray, separate. That's the word evil. Say, don't be deceived. Because there's that deception. That is it. That, you know, I'm good, they are bad. If I hang out with them, you know, I will affect them. Listen, people, There were two analogies I will never forget. You know, you talked about marriage, you know, like people see people in happy marriages, or you don't know the price they've paid. I remember before I got married, that there is it wasn't that easy. I said, you know, I just thought, you know what, one day I'll get married and I'll be okay. So I never was interested in learning about marriage. So when I saw people in those days, when I was still, you know, I was so vast, so spiritual. When I saw people in those days going for like marriage seminars, relationship seminars, I used to mock them. You wouldn't believe this. These people are just wasting their time. But excuse me, I went for what, the very first one I ever attended in my life changed my thinking. Because that's another thing. Our thinking affects what we see. You know, I went for this marriage seminar, and I remembered the speaker. He stood on a high table, and then he said someone should stand on the ground.
Mm.
And he said, look at me. I'm going to start trying to pull this person that is down up, and the person on the ground, let him try to pull me down. And, you know, he did the exercise, and he asked us, who do you think will find it easier, the guy on the ground pulling the guy up down, or the guy up pulling the guy up, pulling the guy on the ground? And we saw, he said, that is what it means when you are unequally yoked with an unbeliever. Evil communication. You already have good manners. The second analogy, no, look, you are wearing a white robe, and you have people who have they're playing with mud, they're splashing mud, they're covered with mud, and you are saying, no, I will go into their midst, and my white robe is going to it's going to cleanse them. Listen, it will stain you. Separate. If you don't separate, like, you know, that is a shed now, there are some things you would not see. And I remember when I went for that, that was what pushed me. And I began to pay the price to learn, to study, to pray, to look at other people's marriages, to see marriages that are working. And I gave myself, I remember, I gave myself, because later I now saw that I needed to pay that sacrifice of seeking for wisdom, for knowledge, for understanding. So like you said, there are themes, the sacrifice you might need to pay. Sacrifice of time is going to cost you something. So we separate from people, but we sacrifice things. It comes at a price, people. It comes at a price. You know, let's see. I don't know if people, you know, again, we would like to hear your contributions, and there might be burning questions now. So we want to give the opportunity for people. You ask the questions, you know. By the Spirit of God, I believe, you know, the Spirit of God has anointed Mr. Kalu tonight and myself. Let's look at things that are issues in people's, practical issues in people's lives. We'll do that this week. Next week, again, it's going to be another question and answer time. But, you know, based on what we've heard tonight, okay, if you want to ask a question, please, anonymously, sly.do#JESUS, ask your question. Or if you don't mind, you want to put a comment in or a question in on Facebook. If you're joining us via Facebook, please, please do. Or on YouTube, please kindly do. So I don't know. Let me get on the slide of dough. There are burning things, burning issues. Okay. I don't know if you want to make any comments on that before we go to see what people are asking.
You know, Pastor, you said something which I think a lot of us need to understand this, that when we talk about the law of gravity, it's very spiritual. You know, Bible says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. The scripture talks about the enemy is out to kill, to steal, and to destroy. Anything that God wants us to become, anything that God wants us to see, anything he wants us to see, because in seeing we become. The devil knows this, and God also has is his principle. If you see it, you become. You see that same principle in when God opened the eyes of Jacob. He saw that if you put a rod, a stick, and the animals look at it while they are mating, they produce or reproduce what their focus is on.
That's right.
So the devil knows that if we can focus on Jesus, you know, it brings me to the principle of focus. You know, the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 12, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Looking unto Jesus in marriage, Jesus is the focus. In finance, Jesus is the focus. In relationship, Jesus is the focus. In invention, in medical science, in discovery, in community development, in nation building, Jesus is the author and the finisher of our faith, right? Mm. The devil knows that if you can put your gaze on him, if he allows us to put our gaze on the standard of God, I'll come to standard. But if you look at Matthew 14, verse 29 and 30, when Jesus said to Peter, come, and Peter started walking on the water, Peter kept his eyes on Jesus. And as he kept his eyes on Jesus, he was becoming, he was overcoming the law of gravity, because the law of gravity wants to pull everybody down to the center. Which is why when Jesus comes, we will be raptured. We will break the law of gravity and meet with him in the cloud. So the devil knows that he wants to pull you down, pull your marriage, pull your mind. People are going through mental health issues. It's all pulling you down. You try things, he pulls. He wants to pull down. And we forget it's a spiritual battle. We live where it's not just physical. So the Lord wants us to stay focused on him, looking unto him, the author and the finisher of our faith. Because Bible says we are with open faces and beholding in a mirror the image of Christ. We are transformed into the same likeness of Christ as by the Spirit of God.
Well, so we keep looking, we're transformed. Oh, wow.
So you know, Pastor, you've always said, go to the Word for everything. So if I want to look like Jesus, my marriage to look like Jesus, my children to look like Jesus, me as a husband to look like Jesus, Jesus said, because of you, I sanctify myself. I go into the Word, and I keep gazing at the glory of Jesus, the glory of marriage. And this morning, I was just praying for myself. I said, Lord, your Word says, love your wife as Christ loved the church. And gave himself. Lord, I said, I've not started. I want to love. I said, God, help. I started praying. Because what happens is if we look at Jesus, we will see our weaknesses, but we also see his strength. Mm. We would always run to him for help, for help and for strength. And we become transformed. It's a process. We become transformed. But when we take our eyes away from him to look at how our neighbor's marriage is, the wife, they talk to the husband anyhow, the woman did this, and we start comparing, we start sinking. Mm. Our marriage starts sinking. And we start losing that becoming like Christ. So the principle of focus, if you want to become anything God has said to you, focus on the Lord. Focus the power of focus on Jesus alone and his word. His word will never fail. So we see that with Abraham. Bible said he was looking for a city whose maker and builder was God. We see Moses. Moses had a testimony. Bible said he saw the invisible God. Saw the invisible God. So the pressure of leading a church of 5 million people, the pressure of all that, of ministry, almost overwhelmed him. But because he saw God. When the whole church of Moses saw the ways of the miracles, but Moses saw the way of God. When Judas went and committed suicide, we are seeing people commit suicide. Why? Because Judas did not see that there is forgiveness in the Lord.
Come on.
there is mercy with him.
Mm.
But Peter saw the mercy, the difference. These were disciples following Jesus in the church, you know, Jesus discipleship ministry. And they went different paths because of what they were looking at.
Also, you know, and that's the strategy of the devil, to make sure he gives us another focus, to keep on looking at something else. Same strategy, same principle. For as long as we keep on seeing, you know, you are no good, you are this, you are that, you will become it. Okay. You know, there's something. Wow. Two things.
Pastor, you shared something on Sunday. You said he commanded light to come out of darkness.
Mm.
But if I'm looking at that situation, I'm only seeing darkness.
That's right.
But if I gaze on Jesus, I realize that Bible says he forms the lightning from the rain.
Mm.
He can cause a barren woman to give birth.
Mm.
With him, nothing is impossible.
Mm.
But the more I gaze on him, the more I am and I'm believing, oh, this is possible. There's no cancer. There's cancer. The doctor said there's cancer. But God is the maker. He can cause this cancer to go. This is what the lawyer has said. This is what the judge has said. But this is what God has said. And we then begin to transition and build up until some people look at their wives and spouse and say, oh, my spouse is this. You never see any good thing. Bible said, Nathanael said to Philip, can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Can any good thing come out of Nazareth? Some of you look at your spouse and say, can any good thing come out of you? Oh, you are this. You are not this. No. If you can see the way the Lord sees her, if you can look at your children and see, Bible says that God will command his blessing on your offspring.
Mm.
We are not yet like what he is, but we know that when he appears,
we shall come like him. As he is.
We will see him as he is. So I'm not yet there.
Mm.
My marriage is not there. My finances is not yet there. My health is not there. But if I can keep my focus, gaze on Jesus, my life will be transformed into the same image.
Glory be to God. People, two things here, powerful. Separate and focus. May God open our eyes to see the things we need to separate from and what we need to focus on. Him, his word, and his word alone. You know, look at what God did. There are some comments here and some questions which we have quickly in the next 15 minutes. We'll just try and round up, okay? Look at the principle. Do you know what God did in Genesis chapter 1, verse 4? He created light. That is it. I just saw it again now. And after he created that light, do you know what he did? He separated the light from darkness. God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. That word divide there, he separated. That's in the original context. All right, let's go to the questions. Thank you, people. Thank you. I can see. All right, if you can help us, media team, with the comments online and all that. Thank you, Vibrant Youth Foundation. Isaiah was broken when he saw God and he stopped seeing people. May God deliver us from seeing people. We see God. And you know what that is? And when we, if peradventure we see people, may we see God in them.
Amen.
May we see them as God sees them, which is something you highlighted there. All right. Okay. So somebody's saying that, how do you make certain that the light in you is not darkness? Okay. There's actually a scripture. So let me read that scripture to us. And we just need to understand what light is really. So that you know that when I see light, I recognize light. Because that's another thing. People may not know what light is. Okay. In that same scripture of Luke chapter 11, verse 34, it says the light of the body is the eye. Okay. That's what Jesus was teaching there. Let me just quickly bring it. And then for the sake of time, you know, any question we can address tonight, we're going to do, you know, great time. God help us, and the Spirit of God will help us again. You know, when you look at that, Luke, he said, the light of the body is the eye. Therefore, when the eye is single, thy whole body is full of light. But when your eye is evil, your body is also full of darkness. And that's where Jesus now warned that just make sure, take heed, right? Therefore, that the light, which is verse 35, which is in you, is not darkness. So the question now is, how do you make certain that light is not darkness? What is light? That's the question. So that when I see light, I know it's light. It's simple.
Pastor, this is an interesting question. Very good question.
Right.
And to answer that question, it's in scripture. The Bible, right. Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light. Jesus is the light. So another word for light is the word of God.
That's right.
The word of God. And to understand how light works, Uncle Damola, God bless him, shared with us how the eyes, how the eyes works. So what happens is that when light hits the eye, right, it turns it. When you see an object, it goes into your eyes, it turns it upside down, it hits your retina.
From an image.
And the retina then sends the signals to your nerves, to your brain. It's actually the brain that interprets the image and puts the picture of what you've seen.
Mm-hmm.
The Bible says that the entrance of the word
gives
light. So when the word enters us, right, what happens is that because we are saved, the retina and the brain, let me use the brain. The brain is fundamental to the interpretation of the image. The brain is a fundamental. So if you see light comes in, it hits the retina sends it to the brain. But if the brain, the seat of interpretation, is darkness, is not founded on God, is not being transformed. Bible said, let your mind be transformed.
Be renewed by the mind.
So when you see, you and I see something wrong, something that is wrong. Let me say a man beating up his wife.
Yeah.
You see that growing up, it enters into your retina. Your retina sends it to the brain. If your brain is not being transformed by the word of God, your brain will interpret that image as this is the way a man should treat his wife.
Exactly.
But if Christ has transformed our minds, it goes into the brain, and the brain tells you, no, this is wrong. This is not. So the what sits in us, what translates or interprets the information we see should be the word of God. Should be the word of God. So we filter everything we see through the word, because that is understanding. That is what then comes back and is understanding. Bible said, and he opened their understanding. He opened the understanding because
understood the
letter. Yeah, the letter kills. The letter kills. So you can see a lot of image, but if you, the interpretation base, which is the word of God, is not right, it produces a wrong interpretation, and then you have darkness in our body.
Yeah. Let's look at this scripture. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14, that explains exactly what you've just said now in the way we interpret things.
2:14, sir.
Yes, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Okay. It says, but the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God.
Yes, sir.
For they are foolishness.
Yes, sir.
How can he know them?
Yes, sir.
Because they are spiritually discerned.
Interpreted.
That's right. So when our minds are renewed by the word of God, by Christ, we begin to interpret things in the light of the word of God.
Yes,
sir. All right, that's great. Talking about the eyes again, somebody makes a comment here. So when I first got my glasses, I cried for the first time. Things that were blurry, and I had to imagine. I now saw very clearly, more than seeing, see clearly. Okay? I'm trying to understand what this person's saying. That, okay, I think before they got their glasses, they were not seeing properly. Things were blurry. But then, when the glasses came, they began to see clearly. You see, spiritually, we can interpret that. The glasses now, is now the word of God, the spirit of God that's now helping us to see clearly. You know, before then you were trying to see with your natural eyes, and then the glasses, like the spirit of God, now helps you to begin to see. So thank you for that contribution.
Pastor, can I just add to that?
Yeah, go on.
The glasses, so what makes us long-sighted or short-sighted, it's where the image hits.
That's
if
right.
If the image hits before your, lands before your retina, things are you're short-sighted, I think I'm getting it. But if it hits the back of your retina, they are long. But what the glasses does, the concave or convex glasses, it brings it to hit the
that place.
The right place.
That's
so
right.
You see that example when I think it was Apollos. Was talking about the scriptures.
Yeah.
And Bible said Aquila and Priscilla took him aside.
Yeah.
And explained more to him. So that is why you have people like Pastor Fola and Pastor Wura, who are like glasses. They help you bring you back to Christ through the teaching of the scripture. Because you see the Ethiopian eunuch who was reading and didn't understand very clearly, and Philip explained to him by the Spirit, and it brought back focus. So when you are seeing something and maybe you are not seeing it clearly, you know, sometimes we are focused on eternity, that we abandon our family and our responsibility. Sometimes we are focused too much on our earthly responsibility, we forget eternity.
That's right.
But teachers, that's why Bible said he will give you pastors according to his heart, who will teach us the right way, who will bring us back. It's not that they're replacing the person of the Holy Spirit or replacing the person of God. No. They're just saying to you, let me explain to you what this means, and you go back like the Berean Christian and study, and those blurry things become sharp and become clear.
That's right. Thank you very much for that contribution. Wow, nice question here. Somebody's saying, is it safe to say we can separate ourselves from Christians in the church who are not on the same spiritual level as us? And then this person says, so why did Jesus move with sinners? Okay, let me tackle the end part. I will leave you to tackle the... Listen, people, there's one thing that we have to understand. There's something Ezekiel said before. We are not there. We are growing. Okay? Every one of us is on that journey. And we are all at different levels according to the measure of the grace of God. According to the measure of the light we all have individually. So, listen, I want to just say this. Please don't ever forget this. You and I are not Jesus. Right? We are not Jesus. We introduce people to the Jesus we know. And the more we know Jesus, we look at Jesus, we are growing also, but we should never take the place of Jesus. Because, Ezekiel, people unconsciously get so super spiritual. Jesus moved with sinners, so I too will move with sinners. You're not Jesus. You can't handle it. So, you know, Don't be deceived. Evil communication corrupts good manners. Jesus moved with sinners. Okay, sir, what was Jesus doing moving with sinners? Was he partying with them? Was he frolicking and jumping? And no, he moved with them so he could save them. So there are just some things, because there's a question here which will address something here. So I just needed to throw that in. Please don't ever forget this. I remind myself as a pastor, by the grace of God, thank God for the grace, the miracle we've seen to teach, to explain things. But excuse me, the day even Paul said it, just follow me as I, Paul, follow Christ. Don't ever take the place of Christ. I tell myself, I am not Jesus. I don't play God in the life of people. So Jesus moved with sinners. You understand, you are not Jesus. He moved with sinners. Good. If God sends you to people, to just go there and introduce Jesus to them, not yourself. Okay? So, sir, is it safe that we can separate ourselves from Christians and church who are not on the same spiritual level as us?
You know, Pastor, you said something just touching on that first and that second part of the question, moving with sinners. I think context as well. Mm. Like Pastor said, we can't answer the questions completely without understanding the context of what you mean, person means by moving with sinners.
Yeah.
And bear in mind as well, before Jesus started his ministry, he spent 40 days in the wilderness, praying and fasting.
Separation.
Separation.
Focus.
Yes. and again, when we see Jesus being alone by himself,
mm-hmm.
being with the three, being with the 12, being with the 70 or 70 plus. So there were levels of intimacy and relationship with people.
Mm.
So he still surrounded himself with the apostles. He said he called them to be with him.
With him.
So
they would be like him.
Yes. So the close proximity is not that all your best friends are sinners and you don't have any believer friends. You don't go to church. Just be careful. He that thinks he stands, you take him.
Lesson 4. All right.
The first part of the question. Yes. And to answer that, I have a scripture. I'll just share the scripture, and you know, I pray that the Lord will give Pastor more grace to explain it. It says in the book of Romans, chapter 16, verse 17. Romans 16, 17. Mm-hmm. It says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." Mark them that are causing divisions and occasions of stumbling. King James says, offenses contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and avoid them.
Mm.
Avoid them. Mark those that cause division and offense contrary to the doctrine you have learned, and avoid them. This is scripture. This is not me. If somebody is following, Christian means you are following after Christ.
Like Christ.
If you are following like Christ, I don't think we'll have a problem. But if you are like bad Jesus, you are causing people to leave the doctrine of the gospel. You are causing division. I will avoid you. Not that I have anything against you, but I'm just following scripture. Because, like Pastor shared earlier, evil communication corrupts good manners. If I follow you, a Christian, but you beat your wife, and I sit there and I keep quiet, maybe the next day I might end up behaving like you. So I want to avoid that, because I don't want to you hang around people that are swearing. Before you know it, you start swearing.
Yeah, you will swear. Sins must be produced after their kind.
Yes.
So, I think there's nothing more to say. Let the Bible speak. Right? Because the next question is very interesting. And you hit it with that scripture big time. It says, how do you know when God is telling you to separate from someone?
Well, thank you for that question, because I trust the Lord wants me to share another principle.
Mm.
And it's the principle of standard. The principle of standard. The Bible says in 2 Timothy 2:19, if you can bring it up, please, 2 Timothy 2:19. 2 Timothy 2:19.
Wow, I love that scripture, and I'll tell you why. Please go on.
It says, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands.
Mm.
If you read King James, it stands sure, having this seal.
Mm.
The Lord knows those who are his, and let everyone who names the name of Christ depart from iniquity.
Depart.
The standard of God stands sure. The Bible says in the book of Psalm chapter 1, verse 1, it says, he that stands not in the way of sinners. Your standard is the methodology, the method of sinners is what you are applying. The principles of sinners is what you're applying to get ahead. You have to kill everybody. You have to backstab everybody. No, that is not the standard of God. And the Bible says in Habakkuk 2, he said, I will stand upon my watch, upon the ramparts, to see what the Lord will say. So the standard of the Lord is sure. It's standard of purity. Standard of purity. And you see, the last principle that I was going to share was the standard of purity. Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 8, the pure in heart will see God.
Mm.
If you want to see to become, you have to be purity of heart. So to go back to that question, the standard of God is sure. You know, it's love the Lord with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. Anything not done in faith is sin. He that knoweth to do good and you don't do it to you is sin. I hope I've touched, you said it.
So that 2 Timothy chapter 2 verse 19. Practical. God spoke to me about, you know, a relationship years ago. Clearly, what does light have to do with darkness? We saw God himself separate light from darkness. That's one. God's principles, God's standards, they are not negotiable, people. Standard is standard, okay? That's why you've got, even in the world we live in, that's British standards. When you're putting up a construction, you're in the construction, you're in the property business, you violate a British standard, that's it. You know, your house is either marked for demolition or you must bring things by electrical standards, building standards, food standards. Standard is standard. They don't negotiate. You either fall or you don't. So, you know, it was clear that no, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. And then the final straw was that scripture God spoke to me. Look, nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands. There's a seal. A seal means authority. Final. You don't break a seal. Once the king puts a seal, that's it. The Lord knows those who are his. And God told me clearly from this scripture. How do you know when to separate? That's a question from someone. Excuse me. Anyone that is leading you into iniquity, practicing iniquity, a doer of iniquity, every time you're around them, you just find out that they are just telling, let's go and sin. You know, that's what the writer of Proverbs told his son. Look, don't hang around such people. Oh, let's take our lot together and let's go and commit this. No, please. Excuse me. The first principle we learned today, principle of separation. You separate from people. You focus on Jesus. And the third one, let God's standard be what determines everything we do. So, you know, there's really no need for any much explanation about this. You will know, excuse me, if you want to follow Christ, you will know those who are not following Christ. I tell people, you enter, you go to, you know, a train station like in Liverpool Lime Street. I am going to London. I will not take a train that is going to Wigan. If I get to the train station, I will enter the train that's going to London. How do I know people going to London? Those who are in the train with me going to London. And somebody who wants to go to Wigan, and I say, oh yeah, you know, I want to hang out with them. And no. He's going to Wigan. Let them, don't enter the train going to Wigan. Stay on the pathway of righteousness for his name's sake. There's one last question. Oh, wow. Time is really, really fast spent. This is, oh, wow. People, can you just give us 1 or 2 minutes? Because these questions are, well, we will tackle, we'll hit this note from next week. That is a, I'm not sure if you're around next week, but I'll bring you back. We'll hope to bring Apostle Cruz back. And then my wife shared with us last week, we'll have a panel. We'll look at questions, the four of us, God willing, next week. But the Spirit of God will help us. He's talking about separation from people. How do one apply wisdom to separate if a person or persons involved is one spouse? My wife said, ah! Or a family member. I think we are going to start with this question next week with the panel. But people is the same principle, okay? Now, when we talk about spouse, don't forget that in the eyes of the Lord, two, God doesn't see you as twain anymore. The Bible says he sees you as one. They are no longer twain, but one. And the unbelieving is sanctified by the believing. Now, I will say this as a counselor and by law, if it is something that has to do with death and life, please, we advise people, you've got to separate at least from that spouse who wants to kill you. He takes a gun, he's going to shoot you, and he's telling you, if you come back to this house tonight, I will blow your brains. Please, don't pray. Flee, okay? Go to a safe house. Don't go back to that house until we cast that devil out of that person and the person gets back their sanity, because that's no longer... Don't expose yourself to danger, okay? There is room for separation when violence and life is threatened. Please, let's be wise, because that the next question is, how do we apply wisdom to separate? That's it, just flee, all right? Somebody wants to kill you, you've got to flee. All right? Flee from all appearance of evil. All right? So if the person involves one spouse or a family member, I think the family member will look at that next week. I think this is a good place. Funny comment, that is it. Say some people, this is a funny comment. People, the person puts in a smiling emoji or a laughter emoji with tears coming out. He says some people won't let you separate from them. They will keep chasing you everywhere. I don't know. I think we need to pray for such people and pray for you too. That maybe they won't know where next you are going, so they won't be able to chase you. Well, on that note, that is it. Thank you very much for tonight. We're coming back next week, a panel. By the grace of God, we'll look at these very, very key things, profound things, you know, we've looked at tonight. And I pray, you know, that it's not everything we can answer, but the Spirit of God. Don't even wait till next week. We are praying the Spirit of God will answer the questions in your heart. The Spirit of God will help you, take you, separate you, and take you to where to focus on so that you can see as God sees, see what God is saying, see what God is thinking about your life. Please, Tadeze, do you want to just pray? As we close, let's pray for people. Yeah.
Father, we thank you for tonight. We give you glory and we give you praise. Thank you because your word to us in this season, this year, is manifesting your glory upon the earth. And Father, one of the things you want us to do to manifest is to see and to become. Father, thank you for you have blessed us with eyes. Thank you. You've blessed us with your word. Thank you that you've given us everything that pertains to life and to godliness. And Father, thank you, O God, because your grace is available. Thank you for the principles of standard. Thank you for the principle of the purity of heart. Thank you for the principle of separation. Thank you for the principle of sacrifice. And thank you for the principle of focus. Lord, we ask as we go, as we continue, oh God, tonight and in the rest of the week, and even before, as we continue to next Thursday when we gather again, Lord, help us to apply our hearts to wisdom. And Lord, I pray that you bless your people. Let this word bear fruit. And Father, as we have ministered, Father, we pray, oh God, that your spirit will brood upon every heart, yes, starting from us, oh God. Mm-hmm. Help us in the name of Jesus. And Father, Jesus, for every answer that has been given, Lord, that wasn't clear, Father, we ask that you brood upon it, oh God, yes, in Lord, the life of everyone. Minister grace, oh God, to the hearers. Redeem our souls. Save us, oh God. Thank you. For in Jesus' mighty name we pray.
Amen and amen and amen. Thank you, Mr. Kalu. God bless you, everyone, tonight. And we'll see you same time next week. And bye for now. Mr. Kalu, love to your family.
Thank you, sir.
Bye.
Bye.